It's about 3 after 9.
Oh my lord.
And we're gonna call the meeting order.
They're shooting.
Okay, we need a roll call.
Mitchell?
Here.
Michaels?
Here.
McGuire? Jay?
Here.
Harrison? Alex? Carter?
Here.
Cohort?
Present. Okay, we need approval of the agenda.
No move.
Second by Max. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
We took those from your balloon, just don't tell anybody.
Okay.
Need approval for the minutes for April 10th, 2015.
So moved.
Second.
So for discussion, all in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Okay, that's fine. Public participation. Seeing none. Communication from the board? None.
Chris Ellis did notify that he would not be able to attend today.
Who did?
Chris Ellis.
Oh, Chris.
No, okay. Yeah.
And so did Jim. Emailed.
Okay. Now, township, county and township motor fuel tax claim for April 2015.
Move approved.
I'll second that.
Been approved and second. Any discussion on it? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Okay, we got is this a CCARTS grant application?
Yeah, Rita's here with her staff.
Yep.
Go through that.
Good morning. I'm here with Drew Bartram. He is the manager of CCARTS from CUMPD. Eileen, who is the HSTP coordinator, and Zoe, who is the new person overseeing the operation from RPC for CCARTS, because Tina Anson, who used to be the PCOM person, she left last week. Then what we have for you today is the usual grant application that we do for IDOT for funding CCARTS, for funding rural transportation operation. This year is particularly different. IDOT had asked us to put together two different budget proposals, one with the full funding and one with the proposed cut funding from the government. Then I'm going to go over that. But before that, I'm going to give you a brief overview of the service. This is the service area, the whole Champaign County, for CCARTS. And this is the first that riders are paying at this time, and the hours of operation of the service, Monday through Friday, from 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening. And we are closed during the holiday hours. During the holidays, not holiday hours, during the holidays. The existing services, we have about, for fiscal year 2015, about 90 trips per day for people. Back in 2011, the majority of the trips were medical trips. And you can see even in 2013, we have that 35% of the trips were medical and 20% of the trips were employment trips. Today, we just did a survey last week, and even from the ridership data that we collect daily, we know that about 47% of all trips are employment trips. This has changed significantly. And we have over 1,700 registered riders with the service at this time. This is the performance in fiscal year 2015. as you can see, is very consistent. What you can see is that between the second quarter and the third quarter, the number of employment trips increased from 36% to 47%. But in general, we have about 90, from 85 to 90 trips daily done with C-cards. And another important element is you can see that the number of senior trips have decreased with the increase in employment trips. You also can see that there is a high number of denials here. It's because we are working at capacity. We cannot serve all the people that are asking for service.
May I ask a question? Mm-hmm. So, are you aware, did you find out at all what alternatives then those people have turned to who have been denied? Because you're at capacity. That's about 150 some people, right?
I mean, Uber. At this point, we're really not able to capture how they are traveling, you know, other than utilizing the service.
We do know from the survey, about 45% of the riders, we asked a question: if C cards was not available for this trip, how would you make your trip? And 45% said that they would not be able to make the trip.
Is there a determination made in the number of trips, because you're limited, if a person needed a medical trip, would he maybe be chosen to be picked up as opposed to me that needed an employment trip? Or do you make any distinction between that?
At this time, we are not doing that distinction. Because it's public transportation, we need to serve everybody.
So it's first come, first,
first
serve?
First come, first serve.
How do this compete with the rural service, that rural transportation service?
Mm-hmm. This is the rural transportation service. Yeah.
Okay, we just named it C-Cart.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was, before it was Chris, now it's C-Cart.
Okay.
Detached
from Mandel.
And are you
something?
Considering then, if the budget crunch continues, mm-hmm. Of limiting how many trips?
Oh, I'm going there.
Oh, okay, I'm there. Sorry.
These are some of the comments from the survey that we did last week. And we did the survey as a requirement for the grant application. And we'll also be having public meetings next week on Tuesday, one in Mahomet and one in Rantou. Mm-hmm. to discuss with people any issues that they may have with C-cards. We found out that in general, people rate the service very good. The highest that we were expecting was 5, and in general, the service was over 4 points based on the responses that people provided. People are really pleased with the service. As I mentioned, for the budgets, IDOT asked us to submit two different budgets. One budget providing 65% of state funding, that's DOPE, and another budget only providing 55% of the state funding. And those are the numbers based on that. For the 55%, we are also including additional cuts proposed by the governor, and is basically a cut of 40% on funding from the state for transit services, what is being proposed, specifically for Champaign County, because the additional cuts were done individually for each county, and we were one of the, where we were hit the hardest, if mm-hmm. I can say.
Mark?
Yes?
Mm-hmm. Federal government, how much do they participate?
$153,000. Almost $154,000. That's the federal funding. The Section 53.
So the majority is coming through the state?
The match is coming from the state, yes. and local match from us.
If the state match is cut, does that, and we can't fund it, does that translate backwards into a federal aid cut?
Well, if we don't provide the service, we have to fund the funding.
Well, I thought, what I'm asking is there a certain requirement on the federal aid that if you don't have the money to match it, do they cut proportionally?
You need to match the federal funding that you are going to receive.
So you have to have at least 153.87. Is it 50-50 minimum?
It's
50-50 for operating, and it is 80-20 for administration.
Administration. Yeah, it's different the way that it's matched.
Thank you.
But we need to provide that match in state and in local. Yes?
My question is, when we were hit with the cuts and whatnot, compared to the other counties, what was the reasoning? I mean, was there a benchmark of things, or because we already have a transportation?
We don't know.
It was just kind of a...
We just received a notification telling us, okay, this is the cut for your service.
The amounts did vary, and they were very inconsistent county to county, how much got cut for which budget. There wasn't an explanation provided. They did look at expenditures year to year. However, our expenditures were a little bit lower because we were a newer system. We have a smaller vehicle fleet than even Piatt County. Right. And they got, Piatt County only got cut $12,000, whereas we got cut over, I mean, you can see from the figure.
So they looked at the volume and kind of went off of that,
you
think?
Which is not reasonable because we're expecting to get 7 more vehicles this year, and we have only 8 because we are new. But they didn't take that into consideration.
Is that something that you can go back and protest?
We have been talking to them, but it's what we have been told. This is a governor decision. This is not IDOT's decision. Then what will be the implications of those cuts? The total funding decrease will be about 40%. That will imply that we have to cut the service. Instead of having the service from 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening, will be from 7 in the morning to 5 in the evening, possibly. And instead of providing service Monday through Friday, probably we'll have to cut 1 day of service. And as I mentioned, because the highest number of trips are employment trips, then that will be heavily impacted.
Most of the people who use the employment trips, will they be a 7-to-5 work for them? Or?
Because many of them are people who live in Champaign Urbana and work in Rantoul, the majority of them, or live in the rural areas and come to Champaign Urbana, they have to travel early in the morning and late in the evening to be able to cover the 8 hours, then they would be the most impacted ones. Yes.
I'm wondering if, especially since there's probably concentrated areas where employers are for these transportation people, like i.e. the, you know, right off of 57 or maybe out to Craft or whatever it is, there's kind of a concentration. Is that something that maybe that employer might work on something and say, okay, we'll take it out of their paycheck X amount of pay period or whatever, and well, this is like a bus stop when you were at school.
Yes.
And then it'll just drop you into that one area?
And we
maybe
are
the employers kind of?
Yes. We are already working on that. We are already working on that. The first thing that we are proposing is to have a dedicated fixed route. At this time, the service is provided kind of a taxi service. People call ahead, and then they are picked up at their house or their location, and they are dropped off at the location that they say to the driver. In Rantoul, because we have high ridership, we are thinking about having a service that is more established, like the service that is provided in the urban area. Mm-hmm. But by federal requirements, we'll have to deviate from that route if we receive a phone call and people are requested to be picked up at, because they have they are disabled or they have impediments to go to the bus stop. But that will improve the reliability of the service, and that will improve also the efficiency of the service, because we'll be able to pick up more people and drop off more people, and we'll have more schedule and a bus stop. Yes.
Is there a possibility of keeping your early hours and late hours and maybe diminishing the middle of the day?
There is a possibility of doing that. We are looking at all different things. But the first that we are looking at is this one. We know that Rantoul accounts for 60% of the trips right now. Then we want to experiment doing this in Rantoul to start with this, and hopefully with that we'll be able to serve better the riders and keep the ridership that we have. When we did the survey last week, we asked that question, and over 60% of the people agreed to that. They will not be impacted. They are pleased if we have a service like that one.
I see the...
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, Gary. I see the carts, I don't know, vans, buses, whatever you want to call them, all over town, but you're right, there's not very many people on them at any given time. And so that concentrated effort of certain spots might, you know, like you talked about efficiency or something, because I think that's what bothered me more is 90 trips are wonderful, but we should have more.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the idea. If we change the way that we operate, then probably we'll be able to pick up more people and provide more service. But this only, that's the nature of the rural service. That's why knowing that in Rantoul we have a captured ridership at this time, and it's over 60% of the total ridership, let's try that out in Rantoul and then keep the same service on the rest of Champaign County for now until we are able to provide a different kind of service and we have more ridership.
You kind of touched on my question just at the last. With that kind of ridership from Rantoul to and from Champaign-Urbana, what's the possibility of a private company picking this up, privatizing that portion of the service? Is that something that might happen?
For us, we will not be able to do that.
I understand, but I'm asking an overall question. What's the likelihood, if you don't provide the service, with 60% of the people, seems to me like there's a potential for private industry to step in there.
Yeah.
I can
speak to that, actually. Right now, the private industry that's available in Rantoul, none of it is accessible with the exception of Precious Cargo, which typically Precious Cargo won't run if it's Medicaid trip anymore. And a large portion of health care trips are Medicaid funded. And in addition to that, there were a number of riders who actually noted that while they love green transport because they are 24/7, that a couple of the riders actually lost their job using green transport because they were so unreliable and showing up on time or in consistently getting them to their job. So that's why they were using C-carts.
Yeah.
Plus, C-carts is a little more affordable than the green
transport. Than the green cargo. That's what I was going to mention, that the cost would be higher, and that's why I don't think that someone will step in and provide the service, because we'll have to be more costly.
And actually, green transport charges $25 to $30 to come in town, whereas right now we're charging $5 for under 60.
Then that's where it comes into place, having service contracts. And we know that we'll be getting 7 new vehicles this year. We also had to cut the contract with Health Alliance because it was Medicaid and CMTD is not Medicaid certified. Then based on that and knowing that we need to have more local money to be able to draw down more state funding and then to cover the gap that we'll have if the funding is cut. And even if the funding is not cut, we know that we'll need more money because we'll have more vehicles coming. I'm already working with the EDC to meet with the companies in Rantoul to see the possibility of the companies in Rantoul to have service contracts with C-cards, where mm-hmm. they would pay for the service for their employees, and they will have a tax rebate for doing that. Then it's a win-win situation for both. And then the employees will have a more reliable service. Mm-hmm. And also in conversation with Parkland, because mm-hmm. the majority of the students from Parkland are coming from the rural areas, and they sit in the Rural Transit Advisory Group that oversees the operation of C-cards, and then they realize that if we don't have C-cards or we reduce the service, they will be impacted. Then I'll be having a meeting with Seamus Riley in 2 weeks to discuss the possibility of having some kind of contract with them that we can have that local match to be able to draw down more state funding, hopefully. Then that's what I have done so far, but if you have any other ideas, please let us know.
That's it.
Because we need help.
Your second one, the Medicaid requirements, is that something that is so complex that they can't be surmounted, or, you know, help us understand?
Sure. So currently MTD is not a Medicaid provider for transportation. There's a lot of reporting requirements as well as certain additional maintenance requirements, I think, and at this, it's something that we want to look at, but at this time it's something we're not able or ready to take on, and so it could be, you know, a future endeavor, but at this point we're not able to take that on.
What's the reason?
Sure.
The OIG's office has been very famous in their auditing of Medicaid transportation providers, mm-hmm. because some of the regulatory requirements regarding driver training and how you claim reimbursement for your mileage, many of the operators have struggled to continue to be Medicaid operators, especially with the delay in payments from the state. And the addition of both the delayed payment and having the OIG's office the audits being so comprehensive and time-consuming, many of the operators don't want to accept Medicaid. They do because it does serve the low-income population who we want to serve, but I don't blame CMTD for not wanting to
I'm not looking for blame. I'm looking to understand.
Yeah, no, I mean...
Things counterproductive, you know.
I mean, I have an entire binder dedicated to the regulatory requirements for Medicaid transportation, and I can provide you a copy of that. But, I mean, it is difficult. It's not easy.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay,
that helps.
Yeah.
I'm kind of got a question about Medicaid. Why are they making all these new rules that nobody never know about? And I think that's my money, every money I pay. They come up with new rules, and when I get out there, they spend my money worse than I do. I'm just wondering why they get all this power from it. I got a question about that. No kidding.
They're just good at it.
State money wants to leave your hand.
Yeah, but it's our money.
Okay. In the packet that you have in front of you, there are two different memos with information. The first memo is just for requesting the approval of the two grant applications along with the additional documents that we have to submit with the grant application. The memo on the in the back, the last page, is an additional memo that is regarding local match. And on the back, you have the history of the ridership for Champaign County, if you want to see that too. We provided as additional information. The memo regarding the local match refers to, we are looking for any ways that we can keep the service at the level that we have it today. And as I said, we are working with companies, we are working with Parkland, we are open to any new ideas. But One way that the county can contribute is to pay for the insurance, and that will be counted as local match that will be able to draw down more state funding. And working with Debbie Heiser in the county, she got a quote mm-hmm. for paying for the vehicles that we have now. It's about $12,000. I don't know if the county will be willing to pay for that, and that will be counted as local match, then we'll be able to draw down more funding, more state funding for the service. Yes.
Patsy.
Okay, this is $12,000 for 7 vehicles. Mm-hmm. What is the projection for when you fill out that fleet to 15? Mm-hmm. So are we talking about basically $25,000?
I don't know, because we need to provide the detailed information about the type of vehicle and the year and all that for them to do a quote. Then we only could do it with the existing fleet.
But probably. That's probably a big ballpark.
Can I ask a question? What happens with this cut? Are you still proposing to purchase those other vehicles?
We don't purchase them. We submitted grants to IDOT to obtain these vehicles.
Because that was...
Yeah, the vehicles are provided by IDOT, by grants but that we have sent to them and have been already approved and all that. The vehicles are coming. Hopefully this summer or fall.
And if we get those vehicles and we're submitting this, we'll be way, way short. Not just a little, a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why we are trying to get any funding from anywhere.
Right. Max, can you sell marketing space?
Yes.
And how is that going?
The possibility is there. It's not currently done. But, yeah, we can look and see what it would take to
do that. Yeah. Remember, MTD started providing service last October only.
Okay, will they? Can you have them as a contractor to sell for you?
MTD? I don't know.
I can certainly ask.
Yeah. Yeah. Any ideas, please? Any ideas?
I'm personally not anxious to commit the county to any new programs at this particular point in time. It appears that you may be able to work this out yourself, given enough time. Is that a fair assumption?
Well, that's what we are trying to do.
And that we could not obligate the county to participate at this point.
Yeah.
And if the county was obligated to participate, where would that money come from, Deb? Out of the sky?
You'd have to seriously consider it, because you're adding an expenditure to the general fund at the same time mm-hmm. you're asking all the general fund department heads to cut their budgets. Mm-hmm.
Good point. Mm-hmm. So from that, I would not be interested in obligating the county to any further indebtedness at this point,
right.
But do appreciate the efforts that you all are making to make it work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't want to cut the service.
Diane?
I still think, and it was up there, and I said it before, but I still think maybe working with some of the businesses.
Yeah.
And even, I know there's so many things you automatic deduct. I mean, United Way gifts and stuff like that, you could almost deduct a transportation fee or something.
Yeah.
If it was reasonable. And you probably need to talk to the village there, get a hold of Jeff.
I talked to them. I already met with Jeff. And I already met with the economic development person staff for
yes.
the village,
yeah.
and also with EDC, and we are all having that meeting in June to talk about the possibility of getting subcontracts with those companies. That would be grateful.
Yeah, because they also have a company that's working on bringing more business in the town to mm-hmm. that Royal Coach, and maybe they've got some ideas or things that that we don't know about
yeah.
from other.
Yeah.
Areas, but
I was even thinking that perhaps the village of Rantoul will be willing to put some money to keep the service running there.
Do you see our tax bill? We are the highest in the county. Just got raised like 32 cents a hundred.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why.
Can afford it. The rest of us can't.
Yeah. It would be really good if they can provide some local funding.
Yeah, right too, Rich.
Sorry.
does the state
She obviously
limit?
Doesn't live in Urbana.
I was just going to say, Rantoul and Urbana in competition.
Just saying.
Give me another roll. Somebody call me up and complain because their bill is $11,000-some dollars.
That might have been me.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't recognize the name.
Yeah, we spend the money, we
Mine's
send a
right
requisition,
we get
and within
talking.
2 to 3 months, we get the money back.
Not okay, nursing home can go up to a couple of years. I just wondered if you have any kind of problem with that.
No, getting the payments helps. Okay. Yeah,
thank you.
It's fine.
Okay. What do you need? I see
I
there's resolutions in there.
I have the memo here. I need a resolution to approve the budget, the two budgets, along with the ordinance. I have all the documentation there.
So these
the resolution and the budgets that have been proposed with that.
And it doesn't commit us to any more than we've already been committed to.
That would be a separate vote. There's an ordinance and two resolutions.
Can you tell us what these are? Because I don't think anybody's seen these till today.
Oh, the same that we have submitted every year.
I'm just saying. I don't know.
What? Yeah.
What
the
resolution is authorizing us to submit the application, basically, the two applications that we are submitting. The special warranty is assuring that we'll be treating, according to the Federal Transit Act, we'll be treating the employees or the service following the federal rules, basically. And this is also submitting the application, as I said, that an application will be made to IDOT for receiving the fundings. And will be complying with the 5311 federal rules. And the ordinance is to provide public transportation in Champaign County.
So we need to take votes on that, Chair.
Motion to put them all together.
Sure.
Well, are you approving the $12,000?
Oh, that's not, but that's
no.
not part of
no.
it.
No, that's why there are two different memos.
Okay, so which one we need to do, the ordinance and resolution together?
I think so.
There's two resolutions in an ordinance.
Oh, okay, it's two resolutions.
Okay, I will make a motion to put the ordinance and the two resolutions together as one.
Is that accurate?
Okay, it's open for discussion now.
Are we absolutely positive that there's no liability, additional liability to the county by adopting
That's
these two?
That's my question.
Okay. Rita said no.
Can you say
and
that?
Have
can
that entered into
that
the record, please?
Yeah. Okay. As far as liability, the program is covering liability insurance at this time, and that will continue. As far as accepting any sort of special warranty, all of it, because of the way we structure our grant agreement, our intergovernmental agreement with CMTD, it all falls back onto the program to provide that oversight and guarantee that all federal regulations are going to follow.
That's not what he
so
asked.
So I think he wanted to know if the county is going to be responsible for any of the financing for this program.
No. The program will continue to be funded with program funds. You would have to vote separately to vote to approve paying for the liability insurance out of the general fund rather than out of the program funds. If you don't do that, it stays with the program. So the program funds will cover it.
Okay, but is it one of these that we're voting on today?
All three.
All three, just keep it all in the program.
Oh, okay.
As has been in the last 4 years.
Jay is,
we're not changing anything.
As long as that's clear. As mud.
Yeah. Yeah. We are not changing anything from the past 4 years.
Yeah. Okay. Any more discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Maybe.
Can't vote twice. Okay.
You're going to start writing that. You're going to be making new votes.
Just start later in the day.
going to be the first face on the back of one of those buses.
Okay, Rita, is that all?
Now, John and I were going to go together and do that.
Is that all you have for us?
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Nothing changes. I'm cool.
Okay.
All right, we'll move into the county engineer's resolutions. Resolutions are actually items number 9 and number 10 are resolutions for award authority. We have two bridges where the plans are actually in differing states of being approved by IDOT. IDOT has... their local roads engineer retired last Thursday. They have a new local roads engineer that started on Monday. So they're in transition. We're trying to get these plans approved. I don't want to hold up bidding of the projects if they don't get them approved in time and we can't get it bid in time and get it back to the highway committee or to the county board because both of these projects are time sensitive as far as trying to get them done before harvest. And we're already really pushing the envelope at this point to try to get them completed and open up the traffic before harvest. So I'm asking for resolutions of award authority as long as the project is within 10% of the engineer's estimate to award those.
Okay. Max and Jay, did you
second? I do whatever you want me to do, Madam Chair.
Second, and then it's open for discussion now. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Do we take them both in the same?
Yeah, we took them
that way.
Yeah.
And then I'm passing bid opening for the striping contract.
Thanks.
Was actually opened yesterday.
Yes.
So I did not obviously have the opportunity to put the resolution together prior to the meeting. But this is our annual striping contract. We get one bidder typically, and that's what we got this year because we have a local striping contractor out of our city for striping. The large sheet is a spreadsheet that shows the bid prices versus last year and also the bid prices versus our estimate this year. You actually see that the bids are down by 0.004, which isn't much, but it's better than what we're getting on most other projects. So our estimate was $134,660. The bid came in at $102,072.40. And we also, I couldn't tell you how many linear feet, but a lot of this is Village of Mahomet, Village of Savoy, Mahomet Township. There are other entities that enter into this contract with us in order to have their striping done. So the whole 102 is not the county's. Probably 90,000 of it is the county's. But we stripe somewhere between a third and a half of our roads every year just because it wears off and we have to keep the stripes out there to keep the roads safe. So I would ask for your approval to award that contract to Varsity Striping for $102,072.40.
Okay.
Jeff, I'm assuming you're satisfied with the job that they're doing?
Yeah, we had another contractor come in, if you remember, those of you that were on the board on the highway committee 3 or 4 years ago from St. Louis. And that, for some reason, they actually got the bid that year. There was a paint shortage, which I don't know how that came about, but they weren't able to paint the roads. So we had to go back and award it to Varsity as the second low bidder that year. Then the following year, we actually passed a resolution to not allow them to bid anymore because they were doing the same thing all over the state. They were just trying to see how much work they could get, and they weren't coming through with their contracts. Varsity is local. I mean, they're right out there, right off of 150. And the good thing about them is we give them a map, and we say, this is what we want striped. We don't have to have an engineer follow them around to make sure they get it done. They kind of, you know, if they have it's Friday today, and they got done striping up in Bloomington, and they got a crew available. They'll go out and stripe 20 miles for us today. So they do a good job, local contractor, and you know, when we do our seal coat jobs, we're able to call them, and usually we can get them there within a week after we're done, because we don't like to leave those roads open without center lines on them for very long. So we have a very good working relationship with them.
And just because I'm ignorant, how long does that last? Is that a couple of years?
2 to 3 years, typically. You know, it just depends on how much traffic we got. On our seal coat roads, you know, when we do a seal coat and then we stripe it, it tends to wear off quicker because you got that kind of new surface on top and it doesn't adhere to it as well. But typically, it's 2 to 3 years, and we got 200 miles, so we're doing 70 to 100 miles a year.
I would move to approve.
I'll second.
Okay. It's open for discussion. Now, okay.
Sorry, I have a question. These areas where it said didn't bid, is that stuff that you just didn't need or just...
That was stuff we didn't bid last year because there wasn't a need for it. Some of these things, like the railroad crossings, it takes a long time for, you know, they got the big X and the RR out there. Those tend to stick a lot longer because it's big paint.
So it wasn't, they didn't bid it because it wasn't needed, not
right.
Just because they said, I'm not going to
exactly.
Do it.
Exactly. Yes.
Thanks.
Yes.
And we've been working with Bosky, how long, the county?
Since they probably came into existence.
Yeah, my daughter used to work for them in the 90s.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how far back Varsity goes, but it's a long...
May I make a comment?
Yes, you may.
I've worked with these people many years, off and on, throughout a wide area. I believe, are they a female minority?
Yes.
Because of the Center Prize?
Absolutely.
Even better.
And they are very well qualified, and they do a great job. So I highly recommend
it. Yeah, Bonnie is the owner, obviously, female. So it is a women-owned business enterprise. So, yeah.
Okay, Patsy, what?
Again, an information question. Is there research being done to... make or increase the possibility of an adherence of these kind of markings, whether it's striping or other markings? I mean, I look at the bicycle ways, I look
right.
at all of it. And what kind of progress is being made? Because a constant is labor that's
yes.
going out there. And it's not that I want, it's not taking a job away, but
yeah.
Those people could then be doing other things, is my point.
There are 40 different kinds of paint. I don't know, I'm guessing. But I know there's a number of different kinds of paint. You have epoxy paints, and you have thermoplastic paints, and you have urethanes, and you have water-based. And I've seen umpteen number of different presentations, and all of them are inconclusive, to be honest with you. You know, as you go up the ladder, like the city out here on Main Street, that's all thermoplastic, which is a heated paint that
right,
adheres
right.
to it longer, it lasts longer. But the problem with thermoplastic is redoing it. Once it goes bad, it's very difficult to
it's
get it to adhere.
Off.
It's got to be
scraped off.
Okay. And when we do our seal coat, see, we're getting to the point where we're getting to seal coat most of our roads about every 8 to 10 years. And if we were going to use epoxy, we literally got to go out there and get that epoxy paint all the way back off. And if you look at the financing, I don't know how much more epoxy costs than paint off the top of my head. It's considerably more. So the financing really leads you back to using the paint that we're using.
Right. I understand the scraping, but it's... I look at it as, do I buy good roofing material
right.
and it'll last for 43
Yeah.
years as compared to 20
now,
years, and then I also have twice the labor
yeah.
cost. That's what I'm
right.
focus is on my
right.
question. Yeah,
we actually bid, I don't know if it was a mistake or not, but our consultant put epoxy paint on the Dewey Fisher Road project, and we're looking at eliminating it and going to regular paint just because we know how to maintain it, we know how to take care of it, we know how long it's going to last. And when we go out there to do our operations, you know, it's hard to have epoxy over here and urethane over there and water-based paint over there, you know, because they're all different. They all act differently. I would never want to put a high-priced paint on top of a seal coat. There's nothing you put out there is going to stick to it, because the seal coat is actually what's kind of moving around for a year or so. So it's, I think it's to our economic advantage to do what we're doing based on, you know, ARA, who's our pavement management system. They had an entire research project on all the different types of paint. They went out and painted stripes across the roads.
Consumer Report of Highways.
Yeah. So that the paint would wear differently, you know, and it's all had the same traffic. And at the end of the day, they weren't really sure what the best one was. But they spent a lot of money getting there.
I appreciate the lesson.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying they don't.
Okay.
Them engineers, Lloyd. They are again.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any more discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
If you want six different answers on that question, ask six different engineers, because you'll get six different answers probably. Just like lawyers, right?
I get six from one engineer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, John Jay. He got it for once. Yeah, that's right. High five on that one.
All hail. I passed around some pictures of the east side of Olympian.
Yeah,
they just paved the west approach going up to the bridges. The piling are all driven for the bridge. I was telling Lorraine some of those piling had to be driven at 2:30 in the morning because of the activity on the tracks. They wouldn't let the crane get close enough to do the piling work for any extended period of time. So the crane would move in, get halfway done driving a piling, and the flagger would come and say a train's coming, you got to shut down. So you'd have to shut down, move off, wait for the train to come through. Then it's, you know what railroads are like.
The neighbors like that?
They did not like it at all. I got a phone call.
I just wondered. I happen to know most of them who live out there.
But we assured them we're done driving piling, so they were happy about that.
Did it decrease the amount of milk from the goats?
One other thing that has happened with our staff is that one of my engineers' wives has some serious health complications. He was my engineer out on the Dewey Fisher Road project, so I've had to do some swapping around, and I actually took John Marker off of the Olympian Drive project. So we don't have an engineer on the Olympian Drive project anymore. The city of Champaign covered with one of their engineers, and I moved John out onto the Dewey Fisher Road project. So good or bad, I mean, we were getting reimbursed for all that, so we were getting paid for his time out there. But with the limited amount of staff we have, we had to shift people around in order to cover the Dewey Fisher Road project. So we do not have a county personnel on Olympian Drive full-time anymore. And then the west end of Olympian Drive, which hooks from Duncan over into the Clearview subdivision, was bid a couple weeks ago. Estimate was $1.5 million. It came in under $1.2 million. So that bid actually came in low. Contractor plans to start, I believe, in June. It'll be a two-month project, and they should be done with that hookup from Duncan into Clearview. So that project.
No power lines on there, are you?
Hmm?
No power lines are going on that road?
No.
Good.
No. Why?
I love it.
Yeah, old Levitt Drive.
Landing strip? So that's what's going on out on Olympian Drive. The good news about the project coming in under bid, it means that money goes back into the Kuat's pool and could help us even further reduce the cost, our cost, local cost,
so
for Lincoln Avenue.
That.
You know, it went from like $1.1 million local down to $454,000 because of all the other things that got moved around. So I don't know that that will happen, but that's a possibility that it could happen.
Getting pretty close.
As I told you, IDOT, local roads engineer, switched on us last week, so we're in the middle of dealing with that. And I'm passing around a notice. I don't know if Patsy, if you got this, or if anybody else got it, but this is the
Are there enough copies that I might have on file?
Yes. They're having a public hearing, open house out at Parkland College on May 14th from 3 to 6 for the I-57, I-74 intersection. And they've selected the engineering group, which is the same as they had for phase one, Hanson, to do phase two engineering, which is actually the physical design.
Okay.
Somebody actually said in one of those listening tours that by 2020, that thing's going to be under contract.
Really?
That's what I heard. I'm
I
not going to. That's a rumor.
I'm
just saying that's the rumor on the street from IDOT is that by 2020, there'll be some activity out on that interchange. Hmm. Now, they may not tell you that at that meeting, but that's kind of what is being talked about in the IDOT ranks is a 2020 time schedule for that. So
we the host?
Huh?
We the host?
Of that?
Yeah.
No. We got no money in it. We got no nothing.
Just using.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And there, as you may or may not know, IDOT's going around the state, 39 different communities doing what they're referring to as a listening tour. They had one here in Champaign. Was their first one. I've been to the one here in Champaign, the one in Danville, and the one in Bloomington. It's the secretary and the deputy secretary and whatever legislators they can get to show up and community leaders they can get to show up talking about transportation needs in their particular communities. And in our liaison committee, I'm the co-chair of the liaison committee for the County Engineers Association. We had a sit-down one-on-one meeting with the secretary a few weeks ago, and I'm hearing a lot of positive things about transportation funding, whether it's a capital bill or whether it's an increase in revenue through some other source, whether it's taking the $1.8 billion that they're deferring out of the motor fuel tax fund and putting it back into the roads, or whether it's taking the sales tax from gasoline that is not going to build roads and bridges and putting that in there, whether it's an increase in the motor fuel tax. There's all kinds of different things being talked about, but the good thing is for the first time in my 10 years, there are people actually talking about it in a positive light, an increase in transportation funding. As you know, they took $50 million from the motor fuel tax fund when they swept, took $200 million from the road fund, so, and a number of other monies that came out of the motor fuel tax from other funds, but at least I feel positive that they might plug that hole and maybe be some increased funding in a possible capital bill in the veto session in the fall after they figure out all the budget mess that they got to deal with this spring.
You attended here, and also you said Danville, and how I know that meeting was standing room only. So it's pretty well attended.
Yes.
By the business. I know there's a lot of business community folks there. How was it in other locations?
Danville, I think they had 70 to 80 people. Bloomington, they had like 100. I believe we had 150 here. So ours was the best attended so far. But they had, you know, they've always, like in Bloomington, they had Illinois State, they had somebody from Mitsubishi, they had somebody from the county, they had a state legislator. Over in Danville, they had somebody from DAC, they had somebody from Mervis, they had somebody, Chad Hayes was there from the state. Mm-hmm. So it's being well attended by all different walks of, you know, community. And it sounds positive, but the really positive thing, regardless of what happens with transportation funding, is the secretary is adamant that whatever happens is going to happen equally for locals as well as state. He's not saying the state absolutely has a big need and the locals don't. He's saying whatever happens, we need to make sure that the current way that we're distributing the money to the locals and to the state, and that split that they're using right now, needs to stay as it is with whatever additional revenue or whatever happens with transportation funding. Now, obviously, he's not the one sitting in the chair making the vote, but he's the one that's pushing that message. So that's a positive thing.
Matt, question, right? Where's the Farm Bureau on this? Are they participating? Do we need to get the local Farm Bureau involved?
I seem to recall that the Farm Bureau wasn't opposing it, but I don't know if they're necessarily.
Brad Yukon was at the.
Was he?
Yeah, he was there.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I mean, that isn't a statement of how they're going. I'm just saying, yeah, he was in the room.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, you look at roads. I mean, it's commerce, whether it's mm-hmm. farm products or manufactured right. products. You still have to get to the market.
It's also long-term maintenance costs.
Right. And they keep talking about long-term maintenance and rebuilding our infrastructure as it currently exists, and they're not so worried about adding a third lane going to Mahomet or a third lane going to Danville. They're really focusing on, we need to, when they say, I can't remember the numbers, they were staggering about how many miles of state highways, and I know how many local highways, you know, are in a state of disrepair, and if we let it go till 2020, that mileage, you know, increases 50% or 80%. I mean, we're at that point. The secretary keeps talking about the cliff, and he says we're standing at the edge of the cliff and just about ready to jump off. And, you know, he's talking about the way that they've done transportation funding in the past, where it's a huge capital bill and then there's nothing, and then a huge capital bill and then nothing. They're talking about evening it out, so there's waves in it, but not necessarily the peaks and valleys in it, because the contracting group, you know, your open roads and cross constructions of the world can't mm-hmm. operate like that. They can't hire 100 people this year and then lay off 120 next year, you know, and keep going in that wave. It's not good for the employment community.
So we can line up all the engineers along that ledge that you're talking about and push the ones off that's not doing anything, just save the ones that are. We could fix this problem.
I don't know about that. I just hope that Mr. Maxwell and I would still be standing there.
Well, I'd be worried about both of them.
But not much.
It is so good you guys don't meet in the Shields room where the general public that watch.
Back to this 57 interchange thing, mm-hmm. I have noticed, and I do pay attention, you know, since they slowed the traffic down out there, they're not having the accidents they were having.
Well, they put that friction course on there, too, where they put that really high friction aggregate. They're actually doing the same thing between here and Danville on a stretch of the straight pavement where the mm-hmm. trucks tend to go off the road over east of St. Joe. And it has helped. There's no doubt about it. They got the flashing signs. They got the friction course. And IDOT has actually said that in some of the meetings that, you know,
But IDOT hasn't said, oh, gee, maybe if that speed wasn't moved up to 70, some of this would not have been happening, too.
Yeah.
Because there was an increase of it after
that. IDOT was opposed to the speed increase, as you remember. Okay. Yeah, the legislature is the one that pushed that, and IDOT opposed it.
Wrong finger pointing.
Yep. Okay. So I'd like to bring my new accountant in and introduce her to you so she recognizes your faces when you come in.
Are you sure you want to do that? Think about that for you.
Is that good or bad? My parents.
Deb.
I remember my parents.
I'm having trouble
that.
My county email or whatever where I get all my memos.
Oh, you did?
Totally wiped me out.
Really?
I keep trying the password that I thought it was because I'm pretty consistent.
You were out there on the
It doesn't like it. Should I just...
Can you believe it?
Can Andy reset it or somebody?
I said, come on, this is going to be something.
Oh, sure.
You doing that?
Yeah, mine doing that too. Back to what password.
Better get in on the course.
Because I tried, not him. I get the same problem.
So, as you guys know, Debbie's retiring on May 29th.
I will get yours, please.
37 years with the county, 35 and a half of those with the highway department. So, and she's the one that made the wonderful treats.
Yeah.
And you guys were gracious enough to allow me to hire somebody before she retired. So Michelle is going to be taking Debbie's place as our accountant here at the highway department. I don't know if she'll do 37 years, but we hope at least. You want to introduce yourself and just tell us Tell them a little bit about who you are.
Michelle Carter. We live currently in St. Joe. We've been married 26 years. Have two kids in college. Was village clerk for 8 years in Catlin.
So baking skills. Baking skills?
I do. I've been a little while, so yeah, I don't usually have any complaints in that area.
As long as the coffee's good, we're
so
good.
So we'll be good. We're good. Excited to be here. Thank you.
We're excited to have her.
Welcome.
Yeah. She's got her Catlin experience was very, very similar to what we do here because she was the village clerk, so she dealt with everything, including roads and bridges and right-of-way acquisition, as I recall from our interview.
Did Chad Hayes rub off on
her? Yeah. He was not my mayor. He was one of my committee members for a while. So before he kind of moved up, so yes, I worked with him.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. I've enjoyed working with all of you. I will miss the highway department and all the people I work with and everything, but 37 years, that's it.
That's her Corvette, by the way.
Yeah, I figured that. Yeah.
I'm on this one.
Bring it out. Yeah. Well, you take care of yourself,
okay.
Will you?
Okay.
All
right.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, it'd be odd not seeing you here.
Deb?
Yeah.
Wasn't Eileen Painter here?
Yes, Eileen was my mom.
I had the privilege of working with Deb's mother when she was village clerk at Philo. And when I did some motor fuel taxes for them. So I have enjoyed talking with you over the years. And best of luck in your retirement.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, enjoy it.
I will. Believe me. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for the
dream. Yeah.
Oh, boy. I'm over.
All right. So
yeah, we're going to miss her.
Yeah.
We have 9, 10, and 11 on the consent agenda. And that's all I have, Madam Chair.
Okay, then. Any more business? Okay. The chair does not have a report. He gave you the numbers for the consent agenda, which is 9, 10, and 11. And I guess we're adjourned.
Amen.
Good deal.
Good day, man.